Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So good evening, everybody. Pastor Alex sends his love. He asked me to take the service tonight, and I don't take that lightly by any stretch of imagination. It is a great honor for me to be able to stand and minister in the house that I'm being trained in. Under the leading and the guiding of my spiritual father, Pastor Alex. It's a great honor, and I don't take it lightly. And I say this every time I come up here, but I mean it when I say it. You know, if you guys could receive me tonight as an extension of his ministry rather than a substitution. Amen? Amen. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike. Okay, I'm sorry. Pastor Mike. It's a wild bunch tonight. Okay, let's see what God's going to do. Amen. Okay. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rabbit run. Is that okay? Talking about something totally different tonight, but this is so powerful. The power of perception. The power of perception. It's not what I'm ministering on, but like, it's very powerful. Sometimes what we perceive isn't actually the reality of the situation. Power of perception. And I'm going to give this example. Most of you guys, a lot of you guys were at the chili cook-off this Friday. And it was awesome. We did a chili cook-off to help support the youth and young adult ministry on our endeavor to get to summer camp this year. And there was many different entries. And I only found this out after the fact that we had a wonderful lady enter the chili. This wonderful woman entered this chili twice. Power of perception. Now, it's a funny story. I know we're talking about chili, but you guys will see the power in this in just a moment. Now, Miss Scarlett, Miss Wonderful Miss Scarlett, won best original chili. Okay, wasn't fan favorite, but she won best original chili. Now, Miss Scarlett made too much chili for her crock pot. So Miss Scarlett dished out 2 crock pots of chili and gave one to her wonderful husband, Mr. Kevin, to enter in. Mr. Kevin was number 7. Miss Scarlett was number 8, for those of you who were here. Now, the power of perception. Because Mr. Kevin's chili, like everybody else's chili, was a pot of chili. And that's it. Miss Scarlett, wonderful Miss Scarlett, had pretty little plates and Fritos and sour cream and cheese and all these things to make the contents seem or to be perceived as better. I know it's funny, but hold on. Watch this. You can't assign the value of the contents by the container. Power of perception. Because so oftentimes we perceive the value and assign a value to the contents based on the perception of what the container looks like. We're so quick to judge the guy who has the Mercedes-Benz and a giant 4,000 square foot home, a 32-foot yellowfin on his dock. And we seem to assign a value to him, but the struggles he goes through is the same struggles that the guy living on the corner of the street who's been homeless for 10 years. We can't assign a value to an individual based on the container, because the contents are what make the value. The power of perception. I don't know where this is coming from, and I don't know why we're going this route, but we're going there. Is it okay? Because we sometimes perceive things to be a specific way based off of what we see.
But see, we serve a God that doesn't look the way that we look with our natural eyes. He sees the destiny and the purpose and the child of God that is inside each and every one of us. So we gotta look beyond the power of perception and stop looking at the container and start looking at the contents. What is inside of the container that makes the container valuable? Because Kevin, I think, got like 3 votes. And it's the same chili. It's the same chili. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Pastor Alex, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me, lives in each and every one of you. We gotta stop looking at the contents. Stop judging the container and start judging the contents. What is inside of us? Poor Mr. Kevin, thank you guys so much for that illustration. The power of perception. We're so quick to point a finger at the alcoholic that sits in the back of the church that's trying to go through something. He might be the next Billy Graham. Because what lives inside of him is the same thing that lives inside of me. But we gotta stop perceiving with our natural eyes. We gotta get back to walking in the realm of the Spirit and seeing and hearing and looking the exact same way that God does. How does God see that individual? Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. Doesn't mean he was doing stuff with them. He hung out with the alcoholics. He wasn't drinking with them. But he didn't judge the container because he looked at the contents. Amen. That was for free. So back to the real message tonight, which is the power of persecution. It is kind of funny how it ties together. Okay, so we don't have the screen tonight. I'm so sorry. You're going to have to listen to me read the scriptures. Acts 16, verses 14 through 16 is where we're going to start. And again, if you're following along with your app on your phone, I'm reading out of the Amplified. So if it's a little bit different, that's why. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple fabrics, who was already a worshiper of God, listened to us. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention and respond to the things said by Paul. And when she was baptized, along with her household, she pleaded with us, saying, "If you have judged me and decided that I am faithful to the Lord, a true believer, come to my house and stay." And she persuaded us. And it happened that as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, a demonic spirit claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners a great profit by fortune telling. Now, she was an extremely large asset to the person who owned her, because she was bringing money by a false expression of the prophetic. And she followed after Paul and us, screaming and shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. And they are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Uh-oh. Is a demonic spirit prophesying accurately? Uh-oh. See, there's a very powerful key here, because the word was good. The word was accurate. Which is why when Prophet Mark was here, he made it very clear, you don't judge the prophet on the accuracy of the prophecy. You judge the prophet by the fruit of the ministry of the prophet. And the reason why is because if you only go based off of the accuracy of the prophecy, you put yourself in danger of heeding to the voice of Satan himself. The power of persecution. It's a good word. These are the men of the Most High God. proclaiming the way to salvation. Amen. I receive. It's a good word, but is it? See, sometimes everything that you hear, even though it's good, it may not be God. Okay. So in verse 18, she continued doing this for several days. Then Paul, being greatly annoyed and worn out. And there's a key right there, because listen, if the devil can't get you to recommit the sin that you used to do before you got saved, if he can't get you to trip up on a trial or a tribulation, if he can't get you to fall based on a circumstance or a situation, guess what he's gonna do? He's gonna try to wear you out. Because when your soul is perplexed, when your soul is wore out, when you're tired and you're not sleeping, when you can't go anymore, sometimes that's when you fall the quickest. But if we can learn exactly the way the devil tries to attack us, I like devil butt kicking. So she continued doing this for several days. Then Paul, being greatly annoyed and wore out, turned and said to the spirit inside her, again, another beautiful key when it comes to deliverance. So many people think that when you're binding and loosing, you're speaking to the person. No, you're speaking to the spirit that's in operation behind the person. Just like Jesus spoke to Paul and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't speaking to Peter. I said that wrong. I said Paul. I apologize. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking to the spirit in operation behind Peter. Okay. And turned and said to the spirit inside her, "I command you in the name of Jesus as his representative to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. Now we're having church. There's revival going on the street. There's a little bit of deliverance in the marketplace. This is a good thing. Luke 4:18. What we have been commanded to do as the body of Christ is busy taking place in the marketplace. But see, when there's a little bit of devil butt kicking and there's one dominion taking over another, the devil doesn't like it. So we see immediately they get persecuted, because the owners of the fortune teller are a little bit upset because they're losing this financial income that they're getting from this spirit of divination. The power of persecution. But when her owners saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the marketplace where the trials were held. And I want you to just remember that for a moment. They took the two of them to a public place to persecute them. It may not make sense now, but it will in just a minute. Okay? They dragged them, therefore, before the authorities in the marketplace where the trials were held. And they brought them before the chief magistrates, and they said, "These men who are Jews are throwing our city into confusion and causing trouble. They are publicly teaching customs which are unlawful to us as Romans to accept and observe." So they're getting persecuted and attacked for the very thing that Jesus tells us to do. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." It sounds to me like this wonderful oppressed young lady was set free. So there's a little bit of Luke 4:18 taking place, and they weren't very happy about it. And if we actually read on in that story, it wasn't moments after that that they kicked Jesus out of the synagogue. Persecution. Then you read in Luke 9:1-2, says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." But that's the 12. What about us as the body of Christ? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all the nations,'" not just the elect 12, "make disciples to all the nations." Is this a body of disciples before us tonight? So, the very thing that Jesus commanded us to do, they're busy getting persecuted for it. Okay? So we're going to pick it back up in verse 22. The crowd also joined in the attack against them. So now it's not just the elect. Now it's the elect and everybody standing around. It's getting a little worse. And the chief magistrates tore the robes off them and ordered Paul and Silas to be beaten with rods. After striking them many times with rods, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a strict command, threw them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks in an agonizing position. When you read that in the original Greek text, it's an extremely uncomfortable position that they put them in. Now, they tore the robes and they tore their clothes off, which is a sheer sign of complete and utter disrespect and hatred toward these wonderful men of God that were busy moving in the city. And then they begin to beat them with rods. And this is where my visual mind comes in, because so oftentimes, you know, you read it and it's just they beat them with rods. But when you study it in the original language, it just, you know, it's not. They beat them hard. Very hard. These individuals that beat them with sticks, this wasn't a group of village refugees that came with little twigs and just spanked them. These guys were trained to make the most intense pain possible with these sticks, with these rods. And they would inflict such pain, if you read what the scholars will tell you, oftentimes these beatings and these lashings would end up in death. It's amazing that Paul and Silas even made it through this. Then they were put in the innermost dungeon, the darkest place in the dungeon, the innermost cell. There's no running water. There's no toilets. You can imagine the stench. You can imagine the rats in the disease-stricken area. Am I painting a picture? And then on top of that, they're stuck in these stocks in such an agonizing position that they're just in complete brutal pain. But in verse 25, but about midnight, the darkest hour of the night, 12 o'clock, the time of the night when the realm of the spooky supernatural is at most at hand, the darkest hour of the day, in the darkest position of their life, in a dark, deep dungeon far away from any lights, it's dark. What is your midnight? What is your midnight? Because we all have a midnight. That dark place that you're in that you can't seem to get out of. That area in your life that you're just held in. That persecution so bad you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's complete darkness and blackness around us. But at midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and crying and whining, bleeding from the scars on their back and held up in this agonizing position and whining about how bad it was. No. When they were praying and singing psalms and praising, there is so much power in praise. P-O-P, the power of praise, because what happens right after that is so powerful. What is your midnight? It's a different sermon for a different day, but what's your midnight? Because you can break out of that darkness with praise. So they began to praise. And the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were opened and everybody's chains were unfastened. Wait a minute. Does that mean that your praise can break the chains of somebody standing next to you that's held in bondage? Does that mean that if you begin to praise, you can change an atmosphere for somebody else? That person standing next to you that went through a rough day, your praise can break them out of that? Is that what that says? Oh, but about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns and praising. The foundations of the very prison were broken. The chains were loosed. The doors were open. Oh my goodness, do we see Luke 4:18 coming to life again? Because those who were oppressed were set at freedom. Oh my goodness. persecution. Praise. Everything is a test. How we respond to that test is what dictates our next promotion, because sometimes there is power in persecution. We're so quick to want to bind every single persecution that comes against us. We're so quick to say, you know what, devil, I'm so tired of you, this, that, and the other, but maybe your persecution is going to bring you your next promotion. Verse 27, when the jailer, oh, it gets better. It gets way better. When the jailer, shaken out of sleep, saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, saying, "Do not hurt yourselves. We are all here." Then the jailer called for torches and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out of the inner prison, he said, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?" So following this great persecution, and you'll read in just a minute about how bad it was, because they're bloody. The scripture tells you that they were beaten so bad that their clothes were torn in blood all down through their wounds because of this beating. Listen, we get upset because Billy Joe down the road said something bad about us on Facebook. That's not persecution. We should revere in the fact that we live in a country that we can praise him on the street corners and we don't get beaten. We don't get abused. Listen, the worst persecution we have here in the States is somebody said something mean on Facebook. A family member thinks you're weird because you pray in tongues. Oh my goodness, I think I can endure that persecution. But it gets even better. It gets a whole lot better. And they answered and said to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and trust yourself to him, and you will be saved, you and your household, if they also believe." And they spoke the word of the Lord concerning the internal salvation through faith in Christ to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them that very hour of the night. Now it's late, because if I remember, it was about midnight when they started praising. So it's real early in the morning. They took them out that very hour of the night and washed their bloody wounds. And immediately he was baptized, and he and all of his household. Then he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly. So if I'm reading my Bible correctly, not only did they get persecuted, great victory from the kingdom of God, that the walls were shaken, the bondages were broken, they have revival in the jail. They're bleeding, it's late. If it was me, I'd have probably went to bed. But no, they continue Luke 4:18, because then they begin to preach the gospel to the jailer, the very person who had the sword and was holding them in bondage. The very person that was outside of the walls saying, you ain't getting out of there tonight, because I'm here. I'm on my post. I'm gonna make sure you don't get out of that jail cell. But then what happens? Not only does the jailer get saved, his family gets saved, and then the very person who was holding them in bondage makes them dinner and blesses the men of God. I think it's about time the devil pays us back. If the jailer can make them dinner, I think the devil can pay me back for everything he stole from me. That cancer that took my mama, I'm taking it back in Jesus' mighty name. It's about time we take it back. We take it back. The power of persecution, it's a bad thing, but it's not that bad. But it gets even better. It's just like the Energizer Bunny. The word of God just keeps on going. Verse 35. Now when day came. Now, just for a moment, we get all tired and bent out of shape because we had to pray for an hour. These guys have been worshiping God since midnight. Had total revival in the jail cell. went and baptized in the river while they're washing their wounds, go to the house, get fed by the very person who's holding them in bondage. I'm talking total revival. And then they just keep going. There's a whole message there. Now when day came, chief magistrates sent their officers saying, "Release those men." And the jailer repeated the words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrate, the very person who tore the robes," okay, "in public, the chief magistrates have sent word to release you. So come out now and go in peace." Hey, I like this. "But Paul said to them," "No, they have beaten us in public without a trial. Men who are Romans and have thrown us into prison, and now they're sending us out secretly? No, let them come here themselves and bring us out." So the officers reported the message to the chief magistrates. It gets better. I think that's a little bit of boldness. That spirit of might has come upon Paul. Listen, I think I'd have taken my blessing and gone with it at this point. But no, Paul says, I want a little more. I want the devil to pay me back a little bit more, because one blessing isn't enough. One promotion isn't enough. I want more. And the officers reported this message to the chief magistrates. And when they heard the prisoners were Romans, they were frightened. So they came to the prison and appealed to them with apologies. And when they brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. The power of persecution. One trial after another. One tribulation after another. One beating and lashing after another. One bloody pulp of a mess. Paul was unrecognizable, but he kept going. And every time he was persecuted, there was a promotion. The very person that was keeping them in bondage ended up blessing them. And then the people who sentenced them to begin with came to the jail begging them, "Listen, I'm so sorry that we came against you and your God that you proclaim. Please, would you get out of our city before it gets any worse for us? Because I saw the whole foundations being shook. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Just go, just go. It's about time the devil's asking us to please stop doing what we're doing. It's about time the devil looks at us and says, I ain't touching that one. I ain't touching that one. I ain't touching that one. That's a child of the Most High. I ain't touching that one. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. It's time. It's payback time. It's payback time." We got a city to take. We got a nation to change. We got to get that spirit of Amalek out of our minds. We're just a little church in Vero Beach. It was just Moses, and he changed the outcome for a whole nation. It's about time that we take it back. Amen. It's a little different every Sunday night. That's the word of the Lord for you tonight. There's power in your persecution. I know it's not easy. Listen to me. I know it's not easy. I've been struggling to sleep since last week, Wednesday. I've been getting between 2 and 4 hours of sleep a night. Not because I'm too busy. I've been making a point to go to bed at 8:30 and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. But it doesn't matter what time I go to sleep. I wake up hours later and there's no going back to bed. The devil's trying his best to wear me out. But we ain't gonna stop. Because this is that generation that was prophesied about by the prophet Joel, that will worship him in spirit and in truth. This is us. This is our time. This is just a precursor to the Feast of Pentecost. I promise you, it's gonna be amazing. You're not gonna wanna miss it. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite that one that makes fun of you for praying in tongues, because I promise you they'll be doing it too. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand up for just a second? Father, right now in the mighty and the precious name of your son, Jesus, Lord, I pray for every single person in this room, Lord, that you would provide them a promotion in their persecution. Father, that you would provide for them a great victory in their persecution. Father, we take authority over every single devil that would try to rage against them, their lives, their families, their finances, their sicknesses, their health, their marriages right now in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And we bind that devil right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would bless them right now. Holy Spirit, come upon them mightily, powerfully, right now in Jesus' mighty and precious name, that you would do it, Father, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. Father, we do everything for you. We do everything for you. Lord, you are so amazing. And we honor you, Father. We honor your presence in this place, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for coming tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless every single person in the house tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless every online viewer tonight. Father, that you would go with them, that that spirit of might and that spirit of boldness would be upon them. And Father, in their persecution, they would be able to receive the victory and the promotion that follows in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.